of blessings like that. But good to have Brother Paul with us, and I've asked him to bring the message to us tonight. So, Brother Paul, you come on, please.
Yes, sir, thank you, Pastor Carter. What an honor it is to be with y'all tonight, and what a great church. And my wife and I were married right here on this platform a little over 27 years ago. And what a great, great place. What a great pastor you have. And I was shocked. January would be 50 years. That's just awesome. That's unheard of in our day and time. And I know you appreciate him. You ought to. And he's just... I was thinking about Pastor Carter, and the thing that comes to my mind when I think about Pastor Carter is a quote. You've probably heard it before. But the men that the world cannot change are the men that change the world. And that's a good description of your pastor. You have a great pastor. And when I went off to Bible college, my parents lived over in Lakeland, Florida. Went to Calvary Baptist Church when Dr. Buffington was there years ago. Many of you know him. And when I was in college, I moved over and started going to Landmark Baptist Church. I came back and I said, I think I'll just join them over at Landmark. And just what a great, great ministry. It's been a great influence on my life. Pastor Carter is one of my heroes for sure. And I love him. I appreciate his stand and just his faithfulness. It's just such an awesome blessing. I appreciate him and his influence on my life. I appreciate all the staff members. I tell you what, it takes a lot of work to make it happen. And I heard one's working out in camp late last night, painting, I think, on the pool or something like that. And I thought those guys have been out in the sun all day long. And praise the Lord just for all the people to make it happen. We were sitting out there, Miss Johnson sang the special Believe. And I, all those years ago, she used to sing specials. And I thought, praise the Lord, she's still singing specials. And that's just awesome. Every church has got to have a pastor like that. And then good people to make it all happen. And praise the Lord for you. What a blessing you are. It's a blessing that our daughter gets to work here. And God just kind of put that together. I had nothing to do with it, really. And praise God, but we're so thankful. She's got a good place. We know they're going to stand. They're not going to change. And we don't have to worry about all those things. Praise the Lord for that. Just have to worry about y'all with her being down here. That's what I worry about, you know. And but praise the Lord, she's got a great, great place to be at. And we're so thankful for it. Your church has more of an influence than you know. I just talking about the buses. We of course, had to shut our buses down for a little bit. And Sarah told me, she said, Dad, they're starting the buses back, but they're using thermometers before they get on the bus. And, you know, that kind of gets everybody calmed down. You know, I said, man, that's a great idea. We did the same thing. And, you know, all the different pressure from all the different sides. I heard Pastor Carter never closed down one time. I said, praise the Lord, let's get back to it, man. And we never missed a service. We did do online services for a little bit. But I heard Pastor Carter said, praise the Lord, man, that's awesome. I've told everyone about that, by the way, just to encourage them. And your church has more of an influence than you know. And so many different places, and praise the Lord for it. By the way, America needs churches like this right here. And we need a whole lot of them. And churches just like this. You know, the Lord didn't call us to be temperature gauges. He called us to be thermostats and change the world. We're called the light and the salt of the world. And praise the Lord for churches like this. Pastor Carter's already mentioned them, but you know it's going to be crazy until the election time. Just mark it down. Just get ready for that. But just stand. Don't worry about all that. Just stay the same. God will take care of it all. And so just kind of be ready for it all. By the way, I tend to think he's plowing the fields a little bit and turning the soil up. And we're staying about 2 hours away, and we drove over this morning, and had to go through all those toll booths, you know. Dirty Bickerback Slattery for those toll booths, you know. I don't like those. And I didn't curse. And by the way, while we're there, I'm kind of joking about the cursing, you know. But a guy explained something. I lost a couple fingers years ago at the 4th of July. No, I'm joking about that. It was the 4th of July. But if I shoot you a bird, it's an accident, all right? I didn't mean to do it. Don't shoot me a bird back, all right, okay? My son will tell me, Dad, you were using your right hand. You're pointing with your right hand too much tonight, you know. And And we're on YouTube and all that stuff, and you know what? It'll stop a frame, and it's kind of like the title of that message. It'll just have a clip there. You're standing there, and I don't know why I'm telling this part, Pastor Carter. I wasn't planning on telling this, but I don't know, a month or two ago, it had stopped right when I was using my right hand. And somebody said, Pastor, did you look at that thing? And I looked at it, and I said, somebody needs to change that thing right there for sure. Those media guys, they can't get on the wall on that one there. So anyway, don't shoot me a bird back, all right? I missed some fingers. I got to use what I can, you know. But I don't know how I got on that story. I don't know how to get back, you know. But Lord's plowing the fields. Oh, we were coming back on the toll booths. That's what it was, you know. And, of course, we had the privilege at all those toll booths to give them a track. And I was a little surprised just how receptive they were. And we said, hey, let me give you something to tell you how to go to heaven. Nobody turned it down. And, you know, it's a little bit more on people's minds right now with everything going on. And so, hey, he's plowing the fields. Let's just get ready to sow the seed and see what God will do. We want to come out on the other side of this thing with our faith that God can still do mighty works. And be ready. And there's always the ebb and tide in a battle. And I love basketball. Never was good at it, but always liked it. And basketball is a game of runs. I coached basketball for a while, and I always tell the guys, look, they're going to have the run, but just hang in there. If we're a little close, we'll have our run. And so just hang in there. Our run's coming, and God's still working. And I'm excited about what God's going to do. And I don't know how long we'll tarry, but as long as he tarries, hey, people are going to get saved. And life's going to get changed. So let's just stay at it till he comes back. I like for him to find me so doing. You know, the Bible talks about that in some parables. Just so doing when he comes back and getting people saved. And according to 2 Peter 3, one of the last things going to happen, somebody's going to get saved. And it might be a service right here at Landmark Baptist Church. Somebody walking down. It may be somebody at the bus ministry on a Saturday or something. But the last person going to get saved. And that Gentile bride's going to be full, and the Lord's going to come back. But let's just keep after it till then. Would you do that? Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter number 59, a very familiar passage. Many of you probably could quote it. I, in fact, read it this morning in my devotions, and I felt like the Lord said, that's the way I want you to go. And Isaiah 59, and those first two verses of Isaiah 59. And would you do this for me? Would you stand out of respect of the Word of God? Isaiah 59. And those first two verses of Isaiah 59 of God's Word. If you're there, would you say amen?
Amen.
And good deal. I tell you what, I heard over here this a little way. They're a little bit slower, but they got it real good. I got to hear you over here a little bit. If you're there, would you say amen over there?
Amen.
Good deal. All right, over here?
Amen.
All right, good deal. We got a little competition going here. We got to get you going a little bit. But all right, Isaiah 59. Look at verse number 1, if you would, please. The Bible says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Would you pray with me and just ask God to do a work in our hearts tonight? Would you do that? Pray with me on that. Father, Lord, we come to you. Lord, I thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for Pastor Carter. Lord, what a blessing. Thank you for using him all these years. Lord, we pray that you continue to use him in even greater, Lord, in this church. Father, tonight, Lord, it's such an honor you let me preach in such a great place. I'm not worthy, Lord. But Father, would you use a simple preacher? And Lord, a common truth. Lord, I believe this is what you want for tonight. So would you take the truth and would you apply it to every person here, Lord? Father, do it only you can do. And Father, I'm asking for that in faith because of Jesus. So would you do so, Father, please. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. We started in it just a little daycare, the church that God's given us a pastor, the privilege of pastoring. And we're in some storefronts. And about 15 years ago, we were looking for our own property, our own land and whatnot. And a man of the church, he set up a meeting with a very wealthy man in of our area. I'd never met him before. And we met him, and me and the wealthy man and the man of the church. And we rode around in his Cadillac Escalade and rode around town. And he showed us all the properties him and his family owned. They owned a lot of land, acres and acres and acres, and prominent locations. And some of those locations, there's Publix and things like that nowadays on those properties. And of all the land in our area, we agreed on just a section of land. It's about 15 acres. It's on a curve of a main road, just a little bit off the interstate. If I had to pick, well, I had my choice then, I picked that property. And he told me, he said, well, let me talk to my siblings. It's a family thing. And he said, we'll take care of you. And we got you covered. You know how that goes. And we got you. And he was not condescending. He was very nice. And but we never heard a thing. In the meantime, God opened up a building and 12 acres. We moved over there. Well, I forgot about that property. And we've been on that property for about 15 years, and God's blessed all the Lord and paid that off and was able to expand and whatnot. And about 2 years ago, we needed to build. We wanted to build. And so we started to look to build on the 12 acres we have. But in Tennessee, we have a lot of parking issues. I don't know that y'all have that in Florida. I'm not sure. There's a lot of rock in Tennessee. Our church is built on a rock in more than one way. Where there's a lot of rock, the water will not dissipate through the ground. And so they won't perk and they won't let you build. And we tried everything in the world for about a year to try to build on that property. And maybe a year or so into it, the Lord said, hey, you knucklehead, I don't want you to build here. I want you to move. And so we started looking for land. And we went back. I'd forgot all about it. We went back to that 15 acres. I'd forgot about it, but God hadn't forgot about it. It was for sale. It had changed hands several times in those 15 years. We started looking at that property, and we began to check it out. In fact, I met with a real estate agent, a Christian man, and He came to my office. He didn't tell me at the time. He told me later on. He said, I thought you were just a preacher dreaming. And I didn't tell him at the time either, but I said, well, that's all I was. That's what I was, you know. But we checked into the property about 9 years ago. July will be 9 years. That property had sold for $3.485 million. So about $3.5 million. And, of course, that's more than we can do for sure. And so we began to look at it, and they were going down the price. We just tried to get our foot in the door, and God just worked out so many different things that we were able to get our foot in the door. In fact, we learned later on that the city, they envisioned a grocery store there. And so they were just giving anybody a hard time from buying or building there. Nobody wanted to buy if they couldn't build there. So they kept putting restrictions on it and whatnot. And it's amazing, by the way, how a city can do things like that, you know. And but it's zoned C2, it's commercial. And with zoning like that, they what they would call a worship center, a church, they cannot stop it from being there. And so we started to look to see if we get a loan. The blessing was our banker at the time, the one that we'd take a loan out from first. He had moved banks, but he knew us. He just happened to be watching our services on YouTube. In fact, before we even went to him for the loan, he emailed me, I believe it was, and said, hey, man, that sermon Sunday, that's the story of my life. And I thought, wow, I didn't know Tony was listening online and whatnot, but God knew that. And so, of course, we went to Tony and the banker and said, hey, what about a loan? And to make a long story short, we were able to purchase that property in December of last year for $1.3 million. And now 9 years, price is going up so much, $3.5 million, now 1.3. And so bought it December, about 2 acres of those 15 we wanted to sell, try to gain a little money, get it back, and be able to build and all that stuff. And so we, the beginning of this year, listed 2 of those acres. And we sought everyone's advice, whatnot, and everybody recommended a commercial real estate agent, good at those things, whatnot. So we signed a contract with him at the beginning of the year. Right after we signed that contract, really before he was able to do anything on it, he had a brain aneurysm. And for that scenario, it was the best it could be. He's doing fine now. But he is, of course, in the hospital, out of commission. And then right after we signed, he's out of commission. And then COVID comes along. And if you're in the business world, you know people are not buying much. Everybody's scared right now. And so we got that. We really did not even have a for sale sign up on the property at the time. And lo and behold, in the midst of all that, real estate agent in the hospital, COVID going on, didn't have a for sale sign up. Someone signed a contract on those 2 acres for $1 million. And God's selling those 2 acres. And God's just been so good. Now, here's my thing for telling, let me just add a little clip on that. When they first showed us that property, the first aerial views of the property we had, nobody can understand why. Nobody figured out there's a cross on the property. It looks like someone took a lawnmower and just cut very low in a certain section. There's right in the middle of the property, there's a cross in the ground. And my deacons looked at it. Well, the deacon said, where'd that come from? I said, I don't know. The Lord just put it there, you know. And but it's our property. We're so thankful what the Lord's doing. But did you notice that verse, that first verse there? Behold. Now, in the Bible, when God says behold, that's kind of like, hey, stop everything. Look up here. Listen up. That's what God says. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short. God does not have a lack of an ability to reach down into your life and work. His hand's not so shortened that it can't do something in your life. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Friend, can I say people are getting saved right now in 2020? Amen. We were so burdened at our church with all the COVID going on and can't really go door to door. We couldn't at that time. And nobody was getting saved. It bothers me typically, and it's not me, it's the Lord, but typically there's very rarely a week goes by that one of the ministries, somebody doesn't get saved around the church there. We hadn't had anybody saved for maybe 2 months. And I was so burdened about that. And Lord, we haven't seen anybody saved. And I was praying about that, and it bothered me. And I went to AutoZone. And every Baptist preacher, if he's a good one, has got a little mechanic. And at least we think we are, amen. I'm good at breaking things. I call it fixing, but I'm good at breaking them. You know, I can repair anything once I've broken it, you know, about third time. But anyway, I was at AutoZone. And I walked in, and there's just one young man there at the cashier, never seen him before. And he was helping me, and I've been burdened. And just seemed like the Lord said, Paul, you're joking with this guy, talk with this guy. You've been praying about somebody getting saved. You haven't even talked about the Lord yet. I said, Lord, you're so right. And began to share the gospel with him. And boy, he was listening. I said, man, at a time like this, you need to know where you're going. He said, oh, you're right. A lot going on right now. Yeah, you're right. And I began to share the gospel. Boy, he was listening to every word. And you know how it is. You get down to the closing part where you're going to try to get him to accept Christ as their Savior. By the way, every good fisherman tries to get the fish in the boat, you know. And we're there trying to get the fish in the boat. And two managers come out. They come out from behind, and they're standing on both sides of him. I didn't say anything, but they're just standing there. And I what they call wimped out. I mean, he never stopped me, just the manager standing there. And so I said, hey, would you do it tonight before you go to bed and all those things? And he said, oh, I will. And I left. I didn't close the deal. But I left, and I'll be honest with you. I thought, man, I dropped the ball. That guy was listening to me. That guy wanted to know. He wanted to hear. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I said, if I get another chance, I won't quit next time. And so shouldn't have said that because my son wanted me to help him work on his truck. You know how that goes, you know. And about 2 days later, and so went back to AutoZone, and he was there. And a lot of people this time, but he wanted to hear. And he told me, he said, you know that thing you gave me? He said, I've been reading on that. Anytime nobody's in here, I read on that thing you gave me. I've been reading on, you know, and checking it out. And so went through the gospel. He wanted to hear. A lot of people in the store. This time, people in line behind me. But I said, Lord, this time I'm not going to stop unless he stops me, you stop me, you know. And two managers came out and stood on both sides. I said, I'm not stopping this time. We're just going to go, amen. And two managers standing there, a line of people behind me. That guy bowed his head and asked Jesus Christ to be his Savior and Lord of his own. And I'm saying, friend, hey, the Lord's hand is not shortened. That look, people can still be saved even in 2020. And lives can still be changed. People still getting saved. We were coming down last week, and we stayed at a motel a little south of Atlanta. And the next morning, we got up, and the breakfast, amen, it's always a good motel if they got free breakfast. Somebody say amen right there, you know. I mean, my name is Jimmy. I'll take what you give me. You know, I like that free. And if honestly, I went in there where the breakfast was, I went on back there to start to get my own food and all that. And there's some tables there kind of in the way. And I just walked around the table, started to get my food. And the lady was there. Oh, sir, you can't get your own food now with COVID. You know, you stand back and tell me what you want and I get it for you. I said, all right, sounds pretty good to me. And anyway, that lady ended up getting saved. And I'm just saying they're there. And the Lord's hand is not shortened and it cannot save. You know, if he were to ever sweat, and if he ever just to kind of maybe take a drop of sweat, just sling it like that, and it were to hit the devil, he'd knock the devil out. Friend, the devil's no match for the Lord. You said the devil's so mighty. Yeah, but have you seen my God here lately? Don't get too shook up about the devil. Listen, the devil is just acting out what God said he would do a long time ago. He's just fulfilling the game plan that God told us and told him he's going to do. And don't get too shook up about that. God's got him on a leash, friend. You ever seen a dog? We used to have a dog. We used to live in Jacksonville when I was a boy for a while. And there's a dog across the fence that had a leash on him too. That's a mean dog. If they had him behind a fence and a leash is on him still, you know, I mean on a chain. And chain link fence and a chain collar. And boy, we'd get him going. Man, he'd take off running after us. I mean, we're on the outside of the fence, but he's over there inside the fence. He still wants to get you, but he got that collar and that chain. And man, he'd just take off after with everything he got. And man, he's just going 90 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, that chain, it wasn't a rope, but it was a chain. That chain, and man, it would just jerk him back. Hey, friend, the Lord has got Satan on a leash. Because Job, Satan can't touch you. Listen, God gives him permission. Friend, I'm simply saying, fear not, the Bible says, 63, fear not's in the Bible. I'm still on the throne, still working, people still getting saved. And someone said this, I like this quote. They said, instead of telling God how big your problems are, how about tell your problems how big God is? Oh, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. He can still hear. Sometimes I'm not the Christian I ought to be. I sometimes just feel so weak and I just... Just my prayer is so faint and so not what it ought to be, but it's amazing God still hear that. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. He still, the eyes of the Lord never place beholding the evil and the good. He sees it all, friend. He hears it all. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear the faintest of prayers. He's still on the throne. He's still working. I rode around the property this morning, my wife and I, and just what an amazing work. My old preacher, Dr. Buffington, years ago over in Lakeland, Florida, he used to say, Pastor Carter's not building a church over there, he's building a kingdom. He got a little bit of everything, you know. curriculum and a college and a radio station and a camp and a church and a school and praise the Lord for it. Man, we need all that. How America needs churches like that. But friend, you imagine God has used so many and Pastor Carter to get this machinery going. Friend, God's not done with all that machinery. Still, God's still using and working in such a great way. God's still got great plans. We're riding around and just amazed. My bottom jaw just dropped open. Wow, look what all God is doing at Landmark Baptist Church. And my wife said this, we're riding behind the property here in the back. She said, you know, my family, the Shepherd family, she said, my family's family tree was changed right here. It really was. Just night and day. God's did such a great work here at Landmark and still doing so much. I mean it when I say, I've told everybody, Pastor Carter down in Florida, he's never closed one door, not one time. I've told a lot of preachers that. You don't know the encouragement that is to so many. I'm saying God's still working here and God's still great, got great things going on here. People are going to be saved until to the last second before the Lord comes back. It's made it so much more real to me, the COVID, that the Lord is coming soon. But I'm so excited to think, hey, that last person, prayer's going to be answered to the last second. God's word's going to be true the whole time. Every promise is going to be, every promise, he'll fulfill them all. I love the bus ministry. Maybe one of the greatest tools a church has is a bus ministry. And I love it. Y'all still have buses running. I remember years ago, it may have been 10 years ago, we came home, if you will. We were visiting a Sunday, and we just kind of slipped in, slipped out. And service Sunday morning was over. We were parked over here. And, of course, the bus is over there. And I was just watching. I love the bus ministry. I grew up. Parents running a bus. I didn't grow up as far as on the bus ministry, but working the bus ministry. Grew up. Parents would always say, you go to the back of the bus and make those kids behave. And I said, those kids are bigger than me on the back of the bus. They don't listen to me, you know. But I was over there sitting, I thought it was Water Balloon Sunday. And I watched somebody over there. They opened the back door of the bus, and they had the water hose. I said, man, that's old school bus ministry right there. I love it. They're still running the buses. That's the bus ministry at the best right there. I mean, and somebody said, they have Flood the Bus Sunday. That's what that is. I said, we're going to do that one day at our church. Amen. We're going that way. That's a great thing. But I love it. You don't know the kids that gets their lives changed, saved, and influenced by the bus ministry. I'm saying, friend, God's still working. A great church like this, God's using it. He's wanting to continue using it to the last second. That's a wonderful verse. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save. Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But that second verse, that's a sad verse, if you will. Would you look at that second verse, if you would, there? Look at that verse number 2, if you would. But your iniquities. You know, iniquities, I don't know that I understand it all, but I believe it has to do much with your heart. If I regard iniquity in my heart, Psalm 66, 18, Lord, will not hear me. And that there's iniquities, but your iniquities. Friends, sometimes we got all the outside looking just so-so. I mean, man, we got it all together. We got the outside looking good, but the inside. And he says there, but your iniquities, by the way, he starts off with that, I think, because you get your heart right, the outside will get right. By the way, don't fall for that thing. Well, I might look like this, long-haired hippie or whatever on the outside, but on the inside, I got everything right. Friend, if you got the inside right, you'll have the outside right. But it starts off there, but your iniquities have separated between you and God. Friend, I'm there too often. They're being critical in your heart of someone else. The ill feelings towards others. The lust. The sins of the heart. The complaining in our heart. I'm amazed how God's just so displeased with murmuring. God's still mighty. He's as mighty as he ever was. And he can still do mighty things. But friends, so often, my iniquity, and sometimes I feel so separated from God. It's not God that's moved. But I have to go back and say, Lord, my heart. Here's the thing about your heart. It's deceitful. And desperately, above all things. And friends, so here's the thing. You must allow the Spirit of God to guide you when it comes to your heart. You know, you can justify just about anything. I mean, we have people that sincerely think they're doing their God, whatever, a favor by killing people. Now, they're willing to deceive, but they're deceived. But friend, you must... Psalms 51, David said, behold, God said it through David, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. When's the last time you got really, really honest with God about your heart? You say, I feel so distant from God. I'm there from time to time. Friend, how's your heart? Friend, this you say, man, it's so bad going on. And yes, I understand that that's no match for our God. What's the problem? The iniquity in my heart. Separated between me and my God. Oh, friend, what a sad thing. In my heart, the sins of my heart. Listen, you got a pure heart. You'll see God. You'll be blessed. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Then what's the next thing he says? And your sins have hid his face from you. It's a sad statement that he will not hear. Friend, you're not going to play the sympathy game and God said, well, I'll just bypass the sin. No, God's not going to do that. God's not going to break his promise for me or you, one or the other. He starts over the iniquity in our heart. Then he says, your sins. Hey, can I just ask you, if I were to go out and maybe get on your cell phone and find out what music you've been listening to, what would be on there? If somehow we could go to your Amazon account or whatever it is, what movies have you been watching? It's a sad thing sometimes. I think a meeting, it wasn't a man in our church, and a pastor, but I went out, but a Christian man, we were at Cracker Barrel. Somebody say amen right there, you know. Y'all have Cracker Barrels down here. Amen. Amen. Promised land. Amen. We got Cracker Barrel. And it's a sad Christian man, I mean, a businessman. We're doing some business with him. And every time a lady walked by, I could see his eyes. And I thought, what a shame. You expect that from the world. The world's going to do that to the world. But when God's men, they can't keep their eyes right. And by the way, unfortunately, there's a lot of immodest women around the world. And shame on them, but shame on a man, a Christian man, that doesn't at least work at it and fight and say, I'm going to keep my eyes right. He says, your sins. You ever, on just a cloudy day, you can't see the sun? It's still up there. Never leaves. But the cloud comes between you. What a sad thing when my sin comes between me and God. Not still mighty. You're still doing things. You're still blessing, still answering prayers, still getting a hold of wayward children, and you're still putting marriages back together. You're still convicting and drawing and working in people's lives and hearing the prayers of God's people. By the way, that man I mentioned, Otto's own, got saved. He said, you know, I think it's his uncle or his grandpa. He said, whichever one it was, he said, he's been after me for a long time to get in church. Now, I guarantee you the reason why that guy got saved because his uncle or grandpa, whoever it was, had been praying for him. Friend, God's still hearing prayers, but God says, hey, listen, my head's not short, my ear's not heavy, but your iniquities and your sins. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God's people got thoroughly right with God? That's the formula. You know it. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from the wicked ways. The key is us. So always God's formula. He looks to his people first. The house of God, that's where judgment starts in the New Testament. I'm there more than I like to admit I'm there. Here's a good thing. God's always there with his arm extended. It's not like we can't get right. The shame is when I decide, hey, it's just too hard to get right with God. I'm just going to go on faking this thing. And we live in a routine, a shell of a Christian life where we're not having God's blessing and God's power and no answers to prayer. And we just kind of get ho-hum and it's no passion to it all. And it's just a routine we've learned. And there's no heart in there seeing God do something. Because iniquity, the sin, is a blessing to me. Here recently when I read Psalm 40, why don't you just turn over there, a couple verses in Psalm 40. Was a blessing to me. David, what a great Christian David was in the Bible, King David, and yet he had his battles like us all. And Psalms are such a good book. I encourage you to try to read a little bit of Psalms every day. What a great book. And this is such a blessing to me. I read it the other day. In fact, my daughter and a friend and I, we went on one of these party deep sea fishing boats, and I was out there and just pulled up my cell phone, the Bible a little bit, and I read this Psalm 40. Such a blessing to me. Look at this saying, Psalm 40. Look at verse number 12 right there. He says, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. By the way, if we're honest, we're all there from time to time. David was. Look what he says. So that I'm not able to look up. He knew he couldn't sincerely pray and get a hold of God. God answered. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. You live there for a while and you're going to faint. It's a sad thing when a Christian, sometimes we just say, man, how in the world could they fall like that? So often they've been in that land right there for so long and they've never gotten right with God, thoroughly right with God, and seen God work a long time in their life. And so they end up, their heart fails. You're going to do the routine so long sometimes. But look what David did. Next verse, verse number 13. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. I like it. He didn't stop praying. He said, Lord, would you just be pleased to deliver? Would you deliver me? Oh, Lord, make haste to help me. I won't finish the psalm out, but God did. Hey, friend, if you're there tonight and you say, man, it's been a long time since I've really seen God do some great things. And I feel like there are some iniquities that's kind of between me and God and some sins have separated. Hey listen, God's well capable of delivering you. I have to humble myself and come honestly and sincerely to God. That humility is such a key thing, that honesty. God doesn't require you to be perfect because none of us are there, but it does require you to be honest about it. If we confess, that if's a big word. If we confess our sins, I heard a preacher, it may have been a year ago, say this. Boy, it spoke to my heart. He was at a preacher's meeting, Clarence Sexton, and he said this. He said, the hardest task you're going to have, talking to us preachers and pastors, he said, the hardest task you're going to have is keeping yourself right. Yeah. Boy, I said, you're so right. That's the good fight. Christian, if I'm not fighting that good fight that Paul talks about, I'll be rendered ineffective because I can't get a hold of God and God doesn't respond. Well, that's a good fight. Stay in there. So I'm going to keep myself right. So I got battling this music. Okay, well, just don't give up and give in to the wrong kind of music. Battle that thing out. Go be honest with somebody. Say, hey, I need some help here on this thing. It's worth the fight. God deliver you. He's still working today. Doing miracles. All of you can give testimonies. Almighty God, what a sad thing, but your iniquities, your sins. It's a little boy. His name was Charlie. He was born just a little before the Civil War. True story. His dad was a slave. His mom was a free woman, but he technically he'd be free, but he just lived in the slave community. In fact, his mom died. Some say when she died, the last words, one of the last words she said to her boy was, son, trust Jesus. She passed. The boy got a little bit older. He would walk to church. It was after the Civil War. He's a teenager. He'd walked to church. He began to walk to church, and that's when he heard about Jesus Christ more in depth, and he got saved. He had to walk a pretty good ways, they say, but he'd walk that trip, and he walked to that little church, and they just nurtured him. They taught him to read. He got a little bit older. God called him to preach. And he was trying to study, never had a formal education, but he tried everything he could to learn and study. In fact, he took his first church in Cape May, New Jersey. My wife's from there. And a little church, first service, they say, no one showed up the first service. But God blessed. And God began to put his hand on that little church. People began to get saved. Lives began to get changed. And God began to bless that little church. Not sure exactly how long he was there. A little while later, he went to Philadelphia, and some said, don't go to Philadelphia. It's the second largest city in the United States at that time, a little after the Civil War. I said, look, God will use you here in a small town, but not a big city like that. But he went, felt God leading him there. For a while, he was a janitor in the church, but eventually became the pastor of that church. Had about 130, they say, when he became the pastor of it, but God began to bless. They began to grow and outgrow that little building. They needed more room, so they moved to another church, another building, seated 900. And they said just overflow. They couldn't hold all the people. God was blessing so much. Some say, and I've heard different numbers, some say that the congregation grew to where they had 10,000 members in that church. He was also a songwriter. Some of the songs in your hymn book we have tonight, he wrote. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. He wrote that one. We'll understand it better by and by. God used him to write that one. Someone came to me one time and said, hey, what's your secret? What is it? It seemed like God's blessed and used you. This is what he said. He said, all I have to do is make sure there's nothing between. By the way, God used him to write nothing between my soul and the Savior. His name was Charles Tinley. He said, all I have to do, just make sure there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. Friend, all of us daily. Seems like God gets me kind of straightened out and I go to bed. I don't know what it is. The middle of the night, it seems like the flesh monster comes out and I wake up and I got to get everything cleared up again. It's a moment by moment thing. Behold, the Lord's hand's not short that it cannot save. Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. Let your iniquities, sins. Hey, won't we, myself included, won't we just tonight, let's just say, hey, I'm going to get thoroughly right. I like to get the prayer lines just all the way open where I can see God's hand move. Where I know I can get on the prayer line, the phone line, and God's listening. Serve a mighty God, friend. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, if you would, please? If you're there tonight and you say, preacher, you know, I need to be reminded of how big God is. I just need to be reminded how big God is. God spoke to my heart. That's you tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed. Preacher, I need to be reminded of how big God is. And God spoke to my heart about that. That's you tonight. You slip your hand up, preacher. I need it. God spoke to my heart about it. Anybody like to slip your hand up? You slip it up. Slip it up. Oh, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Wonderful. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I need to get the prayer lines opened up. God spoke to my heart about that. The iniquities, the sins. I won't get the prayer lines opened up. Maybe that's you tonight. Anybody like that? Slip your head up, preacher. You need to get the prayer lines open. Anybody like that? God bless you. God bless you. God, me too. Me too. God bless you. Anybody else? Preacher, God spoke to my heart. Need to get the prayer lines opened up. Anybody like that? I'm going to have a word of prayer and just kind of turn it over to Pastor Carter. But always serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. Father, thank you for your word that reminds us. It's a shame you have to tell me, Lord, that your hand's not shortened, that your ear's not heavy. I'm so sorry so many times, Lord, my sins and my iniquities have separated us, hindered us. Lord, we sure would love to see you continue to work in a mighty way. Help us, Lord, to get our hearts right, our lives straightened out for you. We'd love to see you continue to work. Bless the church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's stand, please. Whatever God's asked you to do tonight, slip out to the altar or have a prayer where you're at. Maybe while the preacher was preaching, the Lord revealed some iniquity there. I remind you, if, as the preacher said, if we regard iniquity in our heart, God will not hear us. It will stop up the prayer lines. Bible says if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants us to keep the lines clear. Whatever the mess in the country is and whatever your personal problems are, His hand is not short. He can reach them. He can take care of them. What the preacher said, God's going to keep saving souls right on and on. Don't know when the last one will be, but one day it will be. The trumpet's going to sound and we're going to be caught out of here. One of the old songs in the book is Bring It in the Sheaves. One day we'll get an account for the ones God sent by that we should have spoken to. Maybe we didn't. Talks about he that goeth forth weeping. That means to have compassion and care. That really makes a difference. The man he talked about went into the Lord. He was just reaping because somebody else had been praying, had a burden. God sent him by to share the gospel. Folks, we got the whole world telling us that we're defeated. Church days are over. God is through, but that's a lie from hell. Greatest days, right now, any day is a great day. Tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Like I say, I've been cutting some cashing in, so to speak, some spiritual coupons. Brother Paul and Sister Tammy there, our early ministry, we had some part with them. God's got all the records, hasn't he? It'd be something, Brother Mullins, if we really could see it as God sees it, wouldn't it? I think Brother Mullins, our missionary over there, preached to us the other night. He heard us on the radio first while he was lost. I believe that's accurate. God's still in the saving business, amen? Sure is. So it's a blessing to me to get to see some of these that God said, all right, look at there. There's another trophy. There's another victory. Amen. All right. Appreciate the message tonight, Brother Paul. And if y'all can get a chance, shake hands and let Brother Paul and Sister Tammy know it's good to see them and see them serving the Lord. And my, what a miracle on that property up there. God is just, his hand's not shortened as he preached tonight. He can keep doing it. Keep doing it. And, That's a wonderful truth there. You know, I don't know about you, but there's certain words in English, you know, that bothers and scares. We get scared of the word cancer. And I get scared of the word $1 million. But God can, he owns it all, amen. And not only the cattle on the thousand hills, but the gold in them hills too. He owns it all. And when he wants to, he can handle it all. Just no doubt about it. All right, we need a choir practice. Where we got?
Yes, sir.
All right, choir practice tonight. Choir, tell you what, you're so important. Why don't you step out right now? The rest of us will stand in respect of you. You come on right now. And to go right on up there because Sunday's coming. Amen. And we appreciate you very much. And good job that you do. All right. Rest of us will go ahead and be dismissed. God bless you. What a great message tonight. And we appreciate it, Brother Paul.